Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. So the Tony nominations are off and running, which we discussed a bit last week. Well, here are a few of my afterthoughts now that I've had a week to think and observe and listen. Some of the biggest names, like Daniel Craig in Macbeth, Sarah Jessica Parker in Plaza Suite, Deborah Messing in Birthday Candles, Beanie Feldstein in Funny Girl, Katrina Link, a former Tony winner whose show Company received many nominations, were all passed over. Those qualify as notable snubs. Some surprise winners, so to speak, were Paradise Square and For Colored Girls, Who Consider Suicide When Rainbow Is Enough. Both are struggling at the box office. For Colored Girls has added two hopeful weeks to its early closing date. We'll keep an eye on Paradise Square. I'm also keeping an eye on Girl from the North Country, which earned some nominations, but still has a due date coming. I went to the half-price ticket booth the first Wednesday after the announcement, and all the Tony-nominated shows were available, including A Strange Loop, which earned 11, even Macbeth, which had supposedly sold out its run before it even began. The bottom line is likely that most ticket buyers could care less about the Tonys. We know that, too, from the when they're shown on TV, nobody watches. And that the old reliables like Lion King and Hamilton and perhaps Moulin Rouge now qualifies remain so. And that Hugh Jackman is a name that does not need Tonys to survive. And also that shows, for whatever reasons, don't have long runs like they used to. Now, that's another story and one that must make producers and investors nervous. In fact, one example this past week, Mrs. Doubtfire, which had opened, paused, and reopened, now has announced that it will truly close on May 29th. Producer Kevin McCollum said, even though New York City is getting stronger every day and ticket sales are slowly improving, theater-going tourists, and especially for our show, family audiences have not returned as soon as we anticipated. Unfortunately, it is impossible to run the show without those sales, especially when capitalizing with Broadway economics on three separate occasions. Mrs. Doubtfire did get a Best Actor nomination, by the way, for Rob McClure, but not enough to keep it going. By the way, if you think COVID is still not a major player here, well, know that I was scheduled to see Skin of Our Teeth at Lincoln Center over this past weekend, which, despite mixed reviews, earned 6 nominations. Well, that one was canceled less than an hour before the matinee due to illness. By the time the publicist and I were discussing the following day's show, he said, whoops, it seems they're down for the whole weekend now. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one. Again, only a limited run, anyway, until May 29th. Remember that My Fair Lady played in that same venue for well over a year. Now, one show that surprised some with its nomination for Best Play is The Minutes, written by and starring Tracy Letts. That was the last production I saw before the 2020 lockdown, and I saw it this past week as well. It was half-priced, and the Studio 54 venue was half-empty, or half-full, depending on, well, you know. So I would put that on the endangered list as well, especially since they are offering rush tickets for as low as $30. That said, I think the Minutes is excellent, filled with 11 memorable performances by Letts, J.C. Mueller, Noah Reed, Austin Pendleton, and Blair Brown. And its relevance and timing register more than they did 2 years ago due to the relatively new or at least public concern about the lands founded by our Native Americans, which have been trampled upon. This 90-minute piece is about a city council meeting in a small town which celebrates its phony heritage annually until one member starts investigating and demands to see some lost minutes from the previous meeting. The show is filled with good lines. How can it be new business next week? What's the difference between semantics and nomenclature? There are different words. Now, some people I spoke with felt the acoustics were not good downstairs. In the mezzanine, I can tell you that it was no problem. I also visited or revisited How I Learned to Drive, the Paula Vogel show of 2 decades ago, starring, once again, Mary Louise Parker and David Morse. It also has more power now due to new issues that have risen in our minds and lives. It would not surprise or upset me if Parker and Morse win the Tonys. though I still think LaShawn's may be the favorite for Trouble in Mind for Best Actress. And Morse is up against all those Lehman brothers. We'll see if the three of them cancel each other out. But How I Learned to Drive is in, yes, a limited run produced by Manhattan Theater Club at the Samuel Friedman Theater. Anyway, it's a crucial month, Jill, before the June Tonys are actually given out.
And does excitement rule? Tell me, despite the closings, are there... and you expected a couple of them. Is there some energy that is picking up, or is it more starty stoppy?
It feels very starty stoppy. I have to say, excitement, I certainly didn't feel it at the minute. How I Learned to Drive, it has a very good feel to it, and that's a much smaller house. Yeah, I mean, when you walk around Times Square, it's packed. The restaurants are packed. The theaters are, you know, like I said, some theaters are packed, some are definitely not packed.
So if you ruled the world, I'm just digressing completely, you know.
Yes, it's, you know.
Riffing, yeah. So to speak. If you ruled the world, what would you alter, if anything?
Well, I would not take away the vaccination thing, which they did, except each theater company is allowed to do what they want on that rule. For example, when I went to How I Learned to Drive, that's run by a company. And they say, no, we're keeping it up. You have to prove your vaccination. Regular Broadway theaters have taken that away. Like if you go the Roundabout, I'm sure that also. No, actually, that's not true. I think the Roundabout. Anyway.
So basically you've got an age thing, because a really interesting, I thought, poll came out the other day. You know, and the thing that most people are worried about is costs. How much blank, I was going to use a word I can't use, how much stuff costs. And COVID is way down, by the way, COVID is way down on the bottom of the list for, I would say, and this is a part of the Broadway audience that they never really succeeded in getting. So when you get to above 42 or something, 43, you know, these people are much more inclined to test themselves and still be COVID engaged.
Yeah.
So
it feels like it. The theaters feel, I mean, I look around and let's face it, the audiences are largely older.
Older is what I was going to say.
Way over 45 or 45, you know, they're older, they're whiter.
That's always been a, when I say, you know, let's going to probably get us in trouble, but let's just be commonsensical. Let's just be business people, not woke, not anything, just regular business people.
Yeah.
All right. So you're going to have your group that is older. It's always skewed older.
Yes.
But you do need the new blood, obviously. To keep your, because otherwise, you know, sooner or later, the older people will die off and that will be done. And so what I'm asking is for you to riff right now, what would you do if you ruled the Broadway world? What would you do to make it accessible?
Yeah.
Or don't you care? You know, or is it over? But again, you know, yeah. there, way, way back in the day, it also was a problem back in probably the book that you're reading. You know, everyone was young once. They all started, you know, they were tumblers and they were entertaining people that, yes, they were entertaining their parents, but the kids were there too.
Well, I don't know. Yes, the book I'm reading, I'll talk about more next week, which is about Hammerstein, Rogers and Hammerstein, you know. And right now they're doing a Carousel, which was, and they had just done Oklahoma. Those were really risky shows in those days. You know, the big thing now is how you get producers. You know, they have the hardest job, the producers. They have to get investors to invest in these shows. And I know people who do that, and God bless them. But how are they not nervous if they're seeing that, you know, every one of these shows now, they're selling tickets for $39. Or, you know, if you go on Today Tix, T-I-X, every single show virtually except the Music Man, you know, it's hard to make money on the shows that, you know, A, that's an older audience. And let's face it, the tourists, he's right. The guy from Mrs. Doubtfire, he's right about that being a family-friendly show. Because when I saw that, I didn't care for it much, but I said, this is a show that's great for families and kids. And they're not getting, you know, he's right when he says this is not a time that people are coming to New York with their families. You know, maybe in the summer, but it's too late for Mrs. Doubtfire. So I don't know. It's still a very, very edgy time. And do they think the Tony Awards are going to make a difference?
No, I wouldn't think so. But I think that the people, the family-friendly people, the only people who can literally, and I hate to say it like this, but I just noticed that this is that gas is up another 10 cents on my way to work every time I drive back. And it's like, you're not going to. We talked about this ages ago when these particular prices weren't a factor. We talked about going to a Knicks game and how that you could only be of a certain that it was really costly, you know.
Absolutely.
A night out is really costly. Now, if you are literally, and I know people like this, and it's funny because, you know, some people still don't get it. But if you have to figure out, like, if it's costing you as much as you're making to get to work, or you are making, you know, whatever adjustments you need to make to compensate because prices are going up way faster than your salaries, etc., you are not going to be able to afford that family vacation where you splash out in New York and go to the theater.
Think what a night at the theater costs. You get babysitters, they cost, so that's $100. Then you get gas in the car. If you're coming from New Jersey, which basically is where most of the tourists come from, that's too expensive. They've got to go to dinner.
Yep.
You know, it's a costly proposition now. And with the COVID thing, which, believe me, is still around. Listen, I was at Lincoln Center the other day. I got the warning a little before just because the publicist wrote me, but I had to look over and see all the people going to the door and saying, what? There was a sign up saying, we're so sorry. Show canceled today. You know, that's, what if those people came in from New Jersey and found that out a half hour before the show? I mean, I don't know. It's a turnoff. So it's still a very iffy time. That's all I can say. I'm going, you know, and I'm enjoying it, but not everybody will. But we'll see. Maybe those Tonys will make some difference when people get a taste of the shows. We'll see.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio. RobinHoodRadio.com.